Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
We're almost done with this study of our great book here, Ecclesiastes. Only two sermons to go this Sunday and next Sunday, Lord willing. And then in a couple weeks, I thought we'd begin a new sermon series on Paul's first letter to the Corinthians. So that's where we're planning to be next. Following this morning's sermon, all that's going to be left in this book of Ecclesiastes is Solomon's conclusion of the book. We'll save that for next week, just his conclusion. And so the main text of Solomon's book actually ends today, where we'll be. And it ends in chapter 12, verse 8. And chapter 12, verse 8 is the exact same words that you find in the beginning of the book, chapter 1, verse 2. And it is, "Vanity of vanities," says the preacher, "all is vanity." So his main text begins and ends with that phrase, that all of life under the sun is vanity, which that word, you'll remember, literally means mist. It's translated literally as mist. All of life is a mist. Life cannot be grasped like mist. Life cannot be controlled. Life cannot be predicted. Life cannot be counted on as a reliable source of satisfaction or contentment or joy. Life is, it's a mist. It is vanity of vanities. All is vanity. Now, when Solomon, if you'll remember, when he first made that sweeping statement about all of life, it sounded like an exaggeration. It sounded like hyperbole. But here at the end, I think, maybe he's convinced most of his readers. After he's written 1,000 words, after honest examination, we find it's true. His judgment has been justified. Life really is vanity. So if we're looking for happiness and rest in this life apart from God, we won't find it. So many have tried, but we won't find it. You might find something superficial. You might find something temporal, but it'll be a house of cards. And it's only a matter of time before the happiness and the peace turn into despair and turn into restlessness. And that has been Solomon's commentary on the nature of this life. But that's not all his book is. This book is not just a description, it's also a prescription. And the prescription is, enjoy your life as a gift from God. Life is vanity, but enjoy your life. Enjoy your life as a gift from God. God is sovereign over all things. And in this vain life, he gives his children, like you and me, he gives his children the power, is the way Solomon puts it, and the ability to enjoy this life and whatever gifts God gives us. Most recently in chapter 8, verse 16, through chapter 11, verse 6, Solomon helped us to identify some of the gifts that God has given us, like food and wine and children and spouse and work. And now we come to these final verses, and Solomon is going to say a lot of what he has said in a little different way. which is what he does over and over again to drive his points home. And the way he will say it today is real simple. It's rejoice and remember. It's going to be the way he will put it for us today. Rejoice and remember. So we'll get into that. But first, we should pray together. So will you please bow your heads with me? Father in heaven, thank you for this day. Thank you for bringing us here with a plan and for a purpose, that we would now open your word and hear you speak to us. Help us to understand so that we would know you more and love you more. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, open your Bibles to Ecclesiastes chapter 11. And we'll begin in verse 7 and 8. Chapter 11, beginning with verse 7 and 8. He writes, "Light is sweet, and it is pleasant for the eyes to see the sun. So if a person lives many years, let him rejoice in them all." Solomon says, enjoy each day that God has given you. That's what he is saying here. Every day that you and I have, it is a gift from God. You wouldn't have yesterday, you wouldn't have today, and you wouldn't have tomorrow if it wasn't given to us by God. Ecclesiastes 5, verse 18 said, "What I have seen to be good and fitting is to eat and drink and find enjoyment in all the toil with which one toils under the sun, the few days of his life that God has given him, for this is his lot." And in chapter 8, verse 15, "I commend joy, for man has nothing better under the sun but to eat and drink and be joyful, for this will go with him in his toil through the days of his life that God has given him under the sun." So that is the way that we as Christians, we look at our days. We understand and don't take our days for granted because we see each of them as a gift from God. And what do we do with a gift? We know this, but Solomon has reinforced it. We're to enjoy the gifts God has given us. So if a person lives many years, Solomon says, let him rejoice in them all. We might say things like seize the day or gather ye rosebuds while ye may. We want to seize the moments. For those of us who are task and goal oriented, maybe some of you are and some of you aren't. For those of us that are goal and task oriented, this will mean the difficult task of slowing down. It means slowing down and soaking in and paying attention to the moments of your day as they pass by. It will mean engaging with people and events that are right in front of you and not only thinking about what you have to do next. You've heard the expression, wherever you are, be there. And some of us are tempted to be somewhere else because we're always on our way to something. For those of you who are discontent, some of you might struggle to be content. And so we would be tempted to spend too much of our time looking forward to something rather than enjoying what we have now. So we look forward to the end of the workday. We look forward to the end of our schooling. We look forward to the weekend. We're looking forward to the vacation, or we're looking forward to retirement. And all that looking forward can actually be a form of ingratitude. I'll be happy then. I'll enjoy my life then. Instead of enjoying the days that God has given us, Solomon says, rejoice in them all. Every day God has given us. Okay, here's the second half of verse 8. So rejoice and now remember. But, verse 8, let him remember that the days of darkness will be many. All that comes is vanity. So there's where I pulled the two words, rejoice and remember. He says, rejoice in them all, but while you're rejoicing, remember something. Remember that the days of darkness will be many. That word remember means consider or keep in mind. So rejoice, Solomon tells us, but while we rejoice, we must keep in mind something. What? Keep in mind that the days of darkness, there's going to be a lot of them. Days of darkness will be many. We're going to have to keep reading to find out exactly what the professor means by those days of darkness. But for now, the author would have us know that there will be many of them ahead. And we ought to remember that, to keep that in mind while we enjoy each day as a gift from God. We won't be surprised as we enjoy this life by those days of darkness, because we're told there will be many of them. Let's keep reading. Verse 9. Rejoice, O young man, in your youth. So here's specific encouragement, challenge to young people. Rejoice in your youth. Let your heart cheer you in the days of your youth. Walk in the ways of your heart and the sight of your eyes. So there's the word again, rejoice, Solomon says. But he is zooming in on a specific people. He says, O young man, in your youth. So these words are good for everyone, of course. He's already said, he's not just saying young people rejoice because you're the only ones that have anything to rejoice about. He's not saying that. He's saying all of us to rejoice, but he does have something specific here. This is primarily aimed at young people. By the way, like the book of Proverbs, which Solomon also wrote, he's writing that book specifically to his sons. So he has young people in mind. So I'm thinking he means like 47 years old and younger. You can guess why I picked that age. Enjoy the days of your youth. He says, young man, in your youth, rejoice and let your heart cheer you in the days of your youth. Here's what he means. And this is going to become very clear in chapter 12. So I've read that and have that in mind, and we'll get there and you'll see. But he's saying, enjoy the days when everything is working the way it should. Very practical and very realistic. Enjoy the days when everything is working the way it should, which is also a clue about what those days of darkness are going to be for many of us. Enjoy the days when everything is working the way it should. Older people, and I am including myself, older people know exactly what Solomon is talking about when he says, young people, enjoy these days when everything is working the way it should. Because there will come a day, and I know this, there will come a day when you're not as strong. There will come a day when you don't have the same energy. There will come a day when you are not as fast. There will come a day when things that used to be so easy are going to be difficult. that day will come. And we don't think about it often when it's not here yet. And so Solomon is speaking to young people and saying, one of the gifts you have to enjoy, and those of us who are older would say the same thing, enjoy, this is for a reason and for purpose. And enjoy the energy you have. Enjoy the strength that you have and use it for God's glory and use it for the good of others, because there will come a day when everything, like getting out of bed sometimes even, is going to be more difficult. I'm surprised all the time. Things that are more difficult for me now than they were when I was younger. Just yesterday, I was just changing the oil in my wife's Suburban. This is an easy thing. I've done it hundreds of times. And I scooted under that Suburban, and I got myself into a position that I could not figure how to get myself out of. And I was this close to just hollering for help. Boys were gone. My wife was in the house. So I was going to have to scream if she was. So pride kicked in. There's no way I was going to do that. I wasn't going to yell. I wasn't going to scream. But I was under that vehicle a lot longer than I should have been, because I just twisted myself 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 20 years ago for sure. No problem. So you understand what I mean. Speaking of Suburbans, in our family, we have two Suburbans. We've got an old one and a new one. I've got a 2002 Suburban that we bought in 2004, and we have a 2017 Suburban. And when I get into the young Suburban, that's my wife's Suburban, when I get into her Suburban, I don't look in the back to make sure that there's oil and coolant and zip ties and tools. I don't have to make sure that that's in the back of her Suburban. But you can bet when I get into our old Suburban, I make sure that we've got jugs of oil and coolant. Where's it? Jumper cables. Forgot the jumper cables. Go grab the jumper cables. I've got to make sure that I've got tools in the back. If we're going to take a trip, there's no way we're using the old Suburban. If we're taking a trip, we're going to use the young Suburban. Listen, when you are young, your mind and your body is all working the way it should. And there comes a point when there are so many miles on the engine that parts start going out. A lot of us have experienced that. And so Solomon's very practical advice is, young man, young woman, enjoy the days before the parts start going out. Verse 10, he says the same kind of thing. Remove vexation from your heart and put away pain from your body, for youth and the dawn of life are vanity. He's saying that youth, it's fleeting. It's fleeting. Doesn't it, those of you who are with me, doesn't it seem like just yesterday? It was just recently that we were able to do things that we're not able to do anymore. It's okay. It's God's plan. It's going to end really well with new bodies that can do anything and everything and more than these bodies ever could. But it is a difficult season, and we remember those days. It seems like yesterday. And once you're here, it went by so fast, so quick. Solomon is saying the same thing. It's fleeting, so enjoy it. I skipped over the last half of verse 9. Verse 9, rejoice, O young man, in your youth. Let your heart cheer you in the days of your youth. Walk in the ways of your heart and the sight of your eyes. But, second half of verse 9, no. So here it is again. Remember, rejoice and remember, rejoice and remember. But no, that for all these things, God will bring you into judgment. Now here's a warning. Here's a caution. In other words, as you enjoy the days God has given you, enjoy them in a way that honors God. Use that strength. Use that energy. use those abilities for the glory of God, because you will be, and this is true for all of us, you will be brought into judgment for everything we've done. There's a way to enjoy life that honors God, and there's a way to try and enjoy life that dishonors God. And Solomon is saying, honor God. So let me summarize this so far. Here's what the professor said in the end of chapter 11. Rejoice and remember. Rejoice, but remember the days of darkness are coming and the days of judgment are coming. We keep that in mind as we enjoy the life God has given us. Now let's take that call to rejoice and to remember into chapter 12. There's one more thing that Solomon would like us to remember as we rejoice. Verse 1. Remember also your Creator in the days of your youth. Remember your Creator. Remember God. His title as Creator brings to mind that He is the source of all life. He is where we came from. He is where every gift that we have came from. Remember also your Creator in the days of your youth before, verse 1, the evil days come and the years draw near, of which you will say, I have no pleasure in them. And then what follows in verses 2 through 7 is a description of the evil days that are coming, of the years that are drawing near. And the evil days coming and the years drawing near of chapter 12, verse 1, are the same as the days of darkness back in chapter 11, verse 8. So we'll read the description, but I'll tell you up front what they are describing, and most of you are probably ahead of me. It's describing old age and death. It is not how it should be. Genesis chapter 1 and 2, no old age, no death. Genesis 3, sin, and now death. And it's something that is the result of sin. And through Christ, we can escape the ultimate sting of death. But that doesn't make growing old and dying glorious. It's hard. It's difficult. It requires faith and the sweetest possible reward on the other side when we're united with Christ in heaven. But for most all of us, this will be a difficult season that we will go through before we see Jesus. So these days of darkness, these years that are drawing near to all of us, Solomon is saying, remember your Creator. That's what we all need to do. Remember our Creator. Before old age and death overtake us, which old age and death will overtake all of us, we must remember our Creator. So listen to these verses. They are famous verses. They are a poetic description of old age and death, and they're told in the form of an allegory where the aging and the deteriorating body is pictured as an aging and deteriorating house. And so this house is described, which is really describing our house, if you will, our body. So let me read verses 1 through 7, and I'll pause throughout a few times and connect the house pictures to the bodily realities, but most of us can see it. Again, more stark reality from Solomon. Verse 1, remember also your Creator in the days of your youth before the evil days come and the years draw near, of which you will say, I have no pleasure in them. Verse 2, before the sun and the light and the moon and the stars are darkened and the clouds return after the rain. So more clouds, more rain, more setbacks. Verse 3, in the day when the keepers of the house tremble and the strong men are bent and the grinders, which are teeth, cease because they are few, and those who look through the windows are dimmed, begin to lose sight. Verse 4, and the doors on the street are shut when the sound of the grinding is low, and one rises up at the sound of a bird, and all the daughters of song are brought low. The hearing decreases. Verse 5, they are afraid also of what is high, and terrors are in the way. The almond tree blossoms, the hair turns white. The grasshopper drags itself along, and desire fails, because man is going to his eternal home, and the mourners go about the streets. Before the silver cord is snapped, or the golden bowl is broken, or the pitcher is shattered at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the cistern, and the dust, this is death, and the dust returns to the earth as it was, and the spirit returns to God who gave it. Solomon says, enjoy each day. Rejoice and remember before old age and death overtakes us. For some of us, these days have already begun to overtake us. We can remember a day when we never thought about that. We can remember a day when we felt invincible. We remember a day when we could do anything. Well, for us, if we've lived the way that God has called us to live, then we have a very different experience as we age. If we've lived the way that God has called us to live, then we are and will be a certain kind of old person. And there are at least two kinds in Scripture. Solomon was, as he wrote this book of Ecclesiastes, an old man at the end of his life. If you've loved God and you've trusted Him and your faith is in Him, then you are kind and you're gracious, you're patient, and a model to the rest of us. There's others, maybe here, certainly in the world, and old age has started to overtake them, and they have not lived a life that pleases God. And Solomon's instruction at the end here is, it is not too late to remember your Creator. He says, before the silver cord snaps, before the pitcher shatters, these are all pictures of death, before that, there is hope for those who would confess with their mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in their heart that God raised him from the dead. And we could enjoy all the days that God has given us. Again, friends, not because this life is great, not because there is inherent goodness and joy and pleasure and contentment to be found in this life, especially not at the end of this life. But joy can be found and peace can be found for those who are children of God, who look to him faithfully and trust him and trust his plan until they see him face to face. And that makes us a different kind of people in the world, who are good and kind and patient and merciful and gracious and not impatient and unkind and miserly and complaining. By the grace of God. Now, whether we're young or old, I just want to take you to a few scriptures in conclusion as we head out of this sermon to show how important it is for us to remember who God is and what he has done. It's not just a theme in Ecclesiastes. It's a theme throughout scripture, and I want to show it to you. It's so important that we do what Solomon says here and we remember. We're always remembering and reminding ourselves of who God is and what God has done. Now, if we go back to Genesis, ever since the fall of Adam, it has not come just naturally for us to remember God. With fallen minds and fallen hearts, even though we're redeemed, we're prone to forget. We're prone to forget, and so we need reminders as Christians. This is why we have regular devotions. This is why that we're in church every Sunday. It's why we need to privately worship God and publicly worship God. It's why we need fellowship with other believers. It's why we're going to take the Lord's Supper next week together. What is all this but reminding ourselves and reminding each other who God is and what he's done? And we remind ourselves of that so that we're able to love God, so that we're able to trust him, and so that we're not overcome by the things in this world. So we need anchor points, if you will, in our life. We need times and places and traditions and routines and habits that would keep us from forgetting our Creator. And God has done this for his people, and he's taught us this. You remember he came to his people Israel after rescuing them from Egypt, and he told them to have a Passover feast. And it was to be a yearly feast. Why? A yearly reminder of what God had done, so they would remember who God is and what he had done. Exodus 12:14. This day shall be for you a memorial day, and you shall keep it as a feast to the Lord throughout your generations, as a statute forever. You shall keep it as a feast. Then God, after he had brought his people into the land he had promised them, he warned them not to forget him. They were prone to forgetting. Deuteronomy 8. And you shall remember the whole way the Lord your God has led you these 40 years in the wilderness, that he might humble you, testing you to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. Beware lest you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand have gotten me this wealth. You shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth, that he may confirm his covenant that he swore to your fathers as it is this day. And if you forget the Lord your God and go after other gods and serve them and worship them, I solemnly warn you today that you shall surely perish. So there it is again. Don't forget. Remember. Later, God told Joshua to set aside 12 large stones. Why? To be a reminder of God's faithfulness. You forget and you'll see these stones and you'll remember how faithful God is. Joshua 4:5. Joshua said, Pass on before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of the Jordan, and take up each of you a stone upon his shoulder according to the number of the tribes of the people of Israel, that this may be a sign among you when your children ask in time to come, what do these stones mean to you? Then you shall tell them that the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. When it passed over the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. So these stones shall be to the people of Israel a memorial forever. Later, Samuel did the same thing. 1 Samuel 7:12. Samuel took a stone and he set it up between Mizpah and Shen and called its name Ebenezer. For he said, till now the Lord has helped us. What is all this? They're reminders. We need reminders in the New Testament. The night before his crucifixion, Jesus himself, he urged his disciples to remember him. Luke 22:19. He took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Friends, think about it. Why all these calls from Genesis through the Gospels to remember, 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 remember? Don't you know? As we forget, we get distracted, we get consumed. And so we need to remind ourselves of who God is and what he has done. So God has given us some signs to do that. He's given us this book. He's given us the Lord's Supper. He's given us one another. Why? So that we would remember our Creator. So that we would be able to what? To enjoy the days that God has given us, all of them, till death. To enjoy all the days that God has given us, because we know and trust that he is good, that he is faithful, and everything that comes to us is from his good hand. So Solomon reminds us today to rejoice and remember. That's the rhythm. Rejoice and remember. Rejoice and remember. Rejoice and remember. Let's pray.